Thanks for listening to the Nice Podcast. I'm Dave Delaney. If you haven't noticed, we've taken a little bit of a hiatus over the last several months. A big revelation was found. I have ADHD, and that explains a whole lot. And of course, naturally, as a veteran podcaster, I started another podcast all about it. And it's called ADHD Wise Squirrels. And you can find it at wisesquirrels.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Just search ADHD Wise Squirrels. Pop over and have a listen. Let me know what you think. Thanks.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Heiler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcasts.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I think the entrepreneurial spirit is like, you know, once you create something, I don't think the creative or launching process ever stops. It's just, it iterates from I'm building and launching a business to now like, hey, let's refine this part of the business or this function or this department, and then boom, do it and then delegate it and go to the next thing, right? And what's the next venture? So it's kind of internal now, but the business itself is definitely bigger than what I ever imagined and bigger myself, which I'm very prideful of.
Nice
with Dave Delaney.
Welcome to the Nice Podcast, all about communication, collaboration, and becoming better leaders. I'm your host, Dave Delaney from futureforth.com, where we help fast-growing tech companies retain talent, improve culture, so you have happier, more connected teams. Today, I'm speaking with Brad Ebenhoe, CEO and partner of Accountfully, a modern outsourced accounting solution. Brad, thank you so much for joining me today.
Looking forward to it, Dave. I always love chatting about business and communication, everything you're chatting about, it's on the forefront of employees' minds these days and team members' minds. So,
definitely. I'm going to get right into that. I have one quick question I always start with, which is, what's the nicest thing someone has done for you recently?
Wow. It probably wouldn't be my kids telling me that I got gray hair. That's probably not a good thing. But I would say that it is probably my wife, who's my business partner, just kind of providing some coverage for me over this weekend to kind of get some past due tasks off my plate that were seriously stressing me out. But because of that, I'm going into the work week here feeling really good.
Excellent. So yeah, Meredith is your COO and partner in the business. Tell me a little bit about how you guys met. You met in Chicago, right?
Yeah. So I'm from Michigan. She's from Nashville, Tennessee. And we both went to college for accounting and ended up at one of the big accounting firms, big corporate firms, PricewaterhouseCoopers, PwC. Worked in Chicago. And then we met working on a client account there. And so we started working together and then, started hanging out and dating did all that in Chicago in our kind of mid to early 20s and loved life and enjoyed it. But over time, the corporate accounting world kind of was too much for both of us, and just the overhead of corporate world and traveling and getting on airplanes and, just kind of got burnt out. And that was probably 2008, 2009 timeframe. It's kind of when we all met and did all that in Chicago. It was great times, but it was time to move on after that.
And so you moved from there to North Carolina first, right? And then South Carolina. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So we moved down to Charlotte, North Carolina, and I became kind of a controller accountant for a family of wine businesses in Charlotte. And I'm from the Midwest, Michigan, and kind of Chicago, and always wanted to move south for the weather. So we both moved down there, and I got my first experience with small business and understanding how to manage inventory and cash flow issues of small businesses and all that stuff. Because when you're working in the corporate world, you don't ever have any visibility to any of that. So, we moved out to Charlotte and then We were in Charlotte for about a year and didn't really vibe with the Charlotte at the time, which was, again, it was about 10 years ago. I know it's dramatically changed now. Mm. But we ended up driving down to Charleston and Savannah for a long weekend and ended up loving Charleston, South Carolina, and fell in love with it. We moved here about 2 months, 3 months later, and that's been our home for 11 years.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah, and it's a beautiful, beautiful area for sure. What part of Michigan are you from?
Mid-Michigan, like Flint area, basically. Yeah. Flint, and then I went to Michigan State. So middle of Michigan, and then after college at Michigan State, I lived outside of Detroit for a couple of years. So, and my family, my parents, my brother, a lot of my cousins, grandparents are still basically back in my hometown, still there. And I take me and the family back up there in the summertime every year, because that's when you should be in Michigan in the summertime.
You know, it's funny, actually. So my wife's uncle is from that neck of the woods, and I'm from Toronto originally and have lived in Nashville for about 15 years. And so for whatever reason, you know, as a good Canadian lad in Ontario, you would just go south. If you're going to go somewhere into the States, yeah, typically you would go south to somewhere warmer, preferably. So I've never really explored Michigan much. And a couple summers ago, he invited us to, they had a place, Lake Shalahoy, something like that.
Charlevoix.
And I was like, holy crap, it's gorgeous. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it's really a pretty area. Yeah, it's beautiful.
In northern Michigan in the summertime is awesome with the lakes and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We, I frequented, you know, Windsor and all the things when I was 19, 20. And
let me think about that for a second. Yeah. Right.
So we took a lot of road trips from East Lansing down to the, to Canada.
Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah, I've got friends with a couple friends with bars in Windsor, and they actually spend a lot of time in Detroit as well. Detroit's such a cool city as well. So yeah. Interesting. And Michael Moore fans? I mean, come on, Flint.
Not really?
No.
Flint is. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, Flint is.
I mean, my dad worked at GM for 30 years in General Motors and retired years ago, so but yeah, we went all through it. My family, but where I'm from is a really small town, about 20 minutes outside of that. So you either, you know, work at GM or you work at or a farmer. So, you know, all those, the last 20 years, 25 years of unions and all the impact economically of GM has really, you know, changed my, you know, hometown and all that stuff. So,
yeah, for sure. Interesting. So, and you moved south. So, and your wife, you said Meredith is from Nashville. Is that right?
That is right. Yep. She's got her parents live there in Franklin, and her sister and live in 12 South. So, and then we have an office there in Nashville. So Nashville's awesome. We were there 2 weeks ago when it snowed. So that was awesome.
Yeah, can't escape you. I know. Uh-huh. We always joke. We live in kind of a cul-de-sac neighborhood on the top of a hill. And I always joke that, you know, when we have a ton of snow on the, or not a ton, but when we have enough snow on the ground and my family and I get out and get the sleds out and start sledding down the hill, that our neighbors are like, see the Canadians in their natural habitat as we slide past their homes.
Hilarious. Yeah. Our four and a half year old twins, that was the first time actually playing in snow and sledding. So it was awesome.
So you started Accountfully in January of 2012 with Meredith as your COO and partner. What made you decide to start a business together?
Well, because we have a similar skill set. I mean, we, you know, as we were, like I was more focused on it originally, the business and consulting business. I mean, Meredith was, she was kind of doing some like health coaching and some other aspects, but she was engaged as well. But as I, as we were kind of trying to figure out like, hey, we're going to do this entrepreneurial thing and we're going to do this cool topic and consulting and all this type of stuff, right? You're trying to figure out really what you're trying to sell. And then all of a sudden something sticks with some customers or clients, and then you start growing, right? And you need, you know, you need more time and energy to do the work. And then after we kind of caught on a couple of items, we saw there was a possibility of this company growing to an aspect. It was like, all right, Meredith, here's the deal. We're young. We're about to get married. We're about to buy our first house. you know, there's two options here now. Like, I'm expanding too much with where I can do all the work. You're doing a little bit. Can you allocate more time? Because either that, I need to hire somebody. So it makes sense to keep the money in the household while we're going to small business and, you know, and not making a ton of money in those first kind of hustle years, as most entrepreneurs know. And so it kind of was a rite of, let's do this. And then it just started taking off. And with us, with our similar mindset and skill set and background, it just made sense for us to kind of roll together in it. And then there's definitely ups and downs of working together and everything. But after a while, I mean, we kind of got a good workflow, and that's been 11 years. So, but yeah, I think it was kind of more out of like a necessity of, hey, this is this aspect or this service is growing, and we both are accountants. Let's just do it together, and this is our life, you know.
And you have offices, as you said. You, I mean, obviously, your HQ is in Charleston, and then you opened an office in Nashville. How has the pandemic been affecting things as far as a brick and mortar, as far as having an office and having staff traditionally at that office? What's that been like for you?
Yeah. I mean, it's been interesting. So first off, like, our client service delivery, did not change at all. We basically provide outsourced accounting services to small businesses across the nation, and we've always used cloud-based tools, even like QuickBooks Online, Bill.com. And we've done that since we started providing the service like a decade ago, as soon as those platforms came out. So that wasn't a change. What was a change, clearly, was the work environment where, you know, people had to either be in Charleston or Nashville, and you had to be at the office every day, and, you know, we'd allow work from home 2 to 3 days a month, right, upon approval. And then kind of quarantine hit and all that stuff went crazy. And so basically for definitely like, you know, kind of a month and a half, 2 months, everybody was working from home. And then after that, I mean, living in South Carolina and Tennessee, it's a little bit different than some of the other states that have more restrictions. We basically opened up the offices and just said, you guys can come whenever you want. You know, if you want to come to work, great. If you want to stay at home, great. No, no big deal. And so we did that for a year. And, you know, people would keep, you know, a handful of people would come back to work, or maybe 2 or 3 days a week and things like that at the office. But, you know, there was a decent chunk that stayed at home and work, which was fine. So after a while, we basically required, and this is kind of our policy now, is if you're in the Charleston and Nashville market, you basically need to work from the office Tuesday through Thursday. And then we can work from Mondays and Fridays. And if something comes up Tuesday through Thursday or similar situation it is, it's not like we're going to say no. It's just kind of needs prior approval. And the reason we did that is just so we can get kind of our work culture back and learning and training. We're a fast-growing company, and it's really hard to learn and engage and create that relationship with new employees or new team members, like, you know, virtually. Virtual work is fantastic. I love it. I love working from home Mondays and Fridays. I'm at my house right now. But being at the office and just face-to-face conversations, it just works better from our perspective, right? So that's number one. It's changing that aspect. And then number two, because we're growing so fast, we grew probably 15 people last year. Net, I think, and at about 53, 54-ish. Finding talent is crazy right now. I mean, it's nuts. So people that live in Charleston and Nashville now can have jobs anywhere across the nation because everybody's basically allowing remote work. But it's similar, right? Now you can actually get awesome talent in Charleston, South Carolina without people moving here or in Nashville. So basically, we've essentially gone where we're hiring full remote people as well now. So essentially, our talent recruitment is full remote, or as well as in the Nashville market, as well as in the Charleston market. And we're basically hiring in all three locations, you know, locations, remote and, quotations. So basically, I think we have about 35, let's say, in Charleston, 10 in Nashville, 10 remote, full remote workers. And I think that's going to be the case long term. Just keep looking at all markets.
And I know it's early days in this sort of new model of you know, working from home, remote working, at least it is for most companies, really. Are you concerned with the long-term effect of culture as it certainly applies to those who are working remotely, like all the time, like those 10 that are not, I mean, it's not possible for them to come in each day or the Tuesday through Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge concern because just because, your first month or two in a new job can, like, make or break you, right? So you have to be very careful of onboarding and super touch and making sure that they're plugged in, right? So
yeah.
Before we kind of went to that model, I guess there's a couple things we do. Number one is, like, no matter where you're at, like, week one of working at a council, you come to the Charleston office. We have kind of start dates, right, where you have, like, last Tuesday we had four people start. You know, two in the Charleston market, one from Arizona, one from Louisiana, right? And they all started the same day, went through the same onboarding plan. So it's just, like, a good culture starter. You get to come to Charleston, hang out with the team. We have a happy hour and all that stuff, right?
That's good.
Yeah. Which I think really helps. And then
yeah.
Number two, so you get it. And then number two is we've kind of recreated or relaunched an employee onboarding kind of development training module, right? Where it wasn't as streamlined and tied down 4 months ago as it is now. So basically we have, like, a senior manager on our team that leads it. We've kind of updated kind of the first kind of week or two of their engagement or of their employment here.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of really had focused conversations and focused trainings on what they really need to know. For what we do, as well as have different team members involved in the process. So I think by those two aspects, they get much more face-to-face than they typically would. And then after that, they're kind of getting specific training and then meeting other personnel, like, hey, this training and, you know, day five or day six is led by our accounting manager in the Boston market, you know, things like that. So they
right.
get more face-to-face interaction. And then I think that helps them with that. With that being said, the last job position we went full remote was pure staff accountant. So we had senior accountants, managers, etc., like, where we're like, we can go remote, we can find, you know, mature people and people that have good experience that can do this, and we know they'll get the work done. But we've always been, you know, conscious about the staff accountant, i.e. the folks that are out of college a couple years and not as experienced, not as mature from a professional standpoint, because we've all been there.
Yeah.
And so we're like, it'd be better for them to be in our markets. But guess what? Like, again, you know, the labor market's saying what it is, and we're growing, so we need to hire people. So now we're at that aspect. And, you know, so we're just going to kind of try to make sure there's proper controls and oversight, you know, as well over them, just to kind of make sure people are getting their job done, you know, they're learning, they're getting their trainings done, they're communicating properly, they're doing our internal systems as well. So so all TBD. And I'm sure there'll be things that we mess up, and I'm sure there'll, you know, be things that we improve upon, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, no, that sounds awesome. And yeah, I think onboarding is such an important part that so often gets missed, just because, yeah, I think the average duration of a new employee is like 45 days before they quit, if the onboarding process isn't where it needs to be. And so the fact that you're focusing on that and pivoting it, you know, as you need to, again, given sort of where we are now, and that helps a lot. Now, I read a little bit about how you also spend time coaching employees. Do you want to share a little bit about that process, what that's like?
Yeah. I think, again, it's now that we're so many people, we've really decentralized our approach, right? Because it's just so hard to know everybody now. But, you know, in the past, we definitely had, director level people or partners like myself and my wife, Meredith, and accounting director, Chris, like, you know, be more hands-on with our team members, right? So everybody gets a direct manager or a direct report manager, as well as like a new hire buddy. The new hire buddy's more at their staff level, but for those that are at the manager level, you know, coaching them on their processes, their workflow, their education, their, you know, reviewing their deliverables, their financials, coaching them in terms of how they coach others, right, or train others depending upon their position. So it's definitely much a hands-on approach at Accountfully as much as it can be.
And as far as the new hire buddy goes, you mentioned, you know, partnering them with someone else on their team. Are there other characteristics you're looking for in buddying up a new hire with someone else? I love that idea, and it's clever.
Yeah, it's I think it's like definitely physical, right? Location. If you're in Charleston, be good to have a Charleston, Nashville, so you can kind of connect, get that face to face, go out for coffee or whatever. But But outside of that, you know, if there's any specific experiences that they can relate with, it'd be good, right? Like, hey, if they're a tax person, maybe a tax person. If they're inventory specialty, do that. You know, those types of things. There's a little nuance in terms of, you know, us kind of understanding from the interview process, this person could vibe really well with this team member from a personality standpoint. But outside of that, sometimes it just comes down to who's available and, you know, who doesn't have a buddy or whatever for that aspect, and who do we think will be, you know, a good job. And that person's just that informal work relationship that you can ask the dumb questions or the embarrassing things of, you know, versus going to the, your boss or the manager that you may have a little bit more of a, you know, apprehension to go to. So it's a good little kind of friend, buddy, somebody that, you know, has been through this the last 6, 9, 12 months of, oh yeah, I had that same problem, or I had that same question, or, hey, this is the one thing that I didn't know when I onboarded that, you know, you should know. So it's kind of, in that realm.
Yeah. No, and I love that idea. I think it's, yeah, it's a great one. And I like the fact that you're, you know, you're able to hire folks, you know, both in both markets and then, you know, elsewhere as well. Do you guys ever all come together like for a retreat or anything like that? Or
Yeah. We did last, we actually, it's hilarious when we were, probably 10 people and we just launched the Nashville market like 5, 6 years ago. We actually flew everybody from Charleston to Nashville and we like rented an Airbnb, nice. 12 South. And it was fantastic. Went out on Broadway and had a great time. And that was actually right in early February. So it was after January and after 1099 year end stuffs, but that was great. So that was like the first official time. And then after that, we did one 3, 4 years ago and then we were going to do it annually. Then COVID hit and that kind of put a pause on it for a year. But this past year we did a, I think September, October, we actually did a retreat here in Charleston where everybody came from across the nation, Nashville, everywhere, where we had a cool little breakout kind of, you know, team event, some stuff that we had at the office or, you know, some kind of informal work meetings and things like that. And then a time for us all to, a volunteer time frame is a volunteer event. And then a, you know, a time to go out on the town in Charleston and have a good time, like a big party to meet and greet everybody. So we did that. It was awesome. We're definitely looking forward to doing that again kind of every year, which we'll probably do like I said, late Q3, early Q4, and try to get everybody here just for, and from an annual perspective.
Yeah, I think the retreats are, you know, seem to do really well just because you are bringing people together. When I do, you know, workshops or speak at retreats, I find that that's always such a good thing also because it brings people, you know, as you said, when they're based elsewhere, it brings them together so they can also experience the same thing in person, which is also, I think, really impactful. It's kind of like a conference in a way because, or conference, a good conference, I should say, you know, because you go to a good conference and you make friends for life, and you all share, you know, similar experiences. Also a reason why I love like a single track conference because everybody in the audience experiences the same speaker. And so they have that point to talk about over lunch, you know, that kind of thing. I watched your Disrupt talk, by the way, which I thought was great, about building something bigger than yourself. I thought that was such a good takeaway. And I know that's from a few years ago. Is that something you still stand by? Is that something you still, you know, kind of a thought that you keep, that you still share with folks?
Yeah. like it's interesting because, and actually last Thursday was our official, like, I guess, legal 10-year like anniversary or birthday of Accountfully. Which literally we had our quarterly town hall that afternoon, and I was kind of like our marketing person put like a 10-year timeline, just was, you know, a slide, some random pictures, and literally I started talking about it and started choking up because I was like, oh my god, like look at what we built, you know.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a just a crazy experience because I literally remember the first kind of one of my first memories of being in flashbacks, like launching Accountfully. I remember like as a basically like a bookkeeping or accounting consultant, like, you know, the software that you typically use is QuickBooks for small businesses, right?
Sure.
And I read this book, short QuickBooks consulting book back in 2012, let's say. And it was always, it says it was like, the key is building a business where literally it's like not Brad Ebenhoe Consulting. It's actually a brand name. And there's people just don't come to this company and say, hey, Brad, help me. And I always kind of remember that. And I was like, God, I don't think I'll ever be able to do that. Like, I don't think we will. It's always going to be Brad and Meredith, who's my wife and business partner, Brad and Meredith, Brad and Meredith.
Right.
And then literally just like, you know, a couple years later, next thing you know, it's like 10 of us and it's Accountfully. And it's, you know, people would ask me a question. I'd be like, I have no idea who you are. You know, like, oh, like I'm Michael's client. Like, you got to talk to Michael. And it was just like one of those, you know, epiphanies of like, wow, this is definitely bigger than what I expected. And even the venture we're at now, we're at like 55 people and, you know, and four people, five people start each month or six people. And, you know, and I've only not met them all, you know? So it's just like this, it's this craziness of that. But it goes back to that. I think the entrepreneurial spirit is like, you know, once you create something, I don't think the creative or launching process ever stops. It's just, it iterates from I'm building and launching a business to now like, hey, let's refine this part of the business or this function or this department, and then boom, do it and then delegate it and go to the next thing. Right. And what's the next venture? So it's kind of internal now, but the business itself is definitely bigger than what I ever imagined and bigger myself, which I'm very prideful of.
Where are you as far as, you know, focusing? Obviously you're focusing on the numbers, I would expect. Mm-hmm. I believe that would be in your DNA. So where is it when you're not hitting those numbers? Like, how do you deal with that? I mean, you know, I find setting goals and making sure that you're keeping focused and making sure those, you know, goals are, you know, quote unquote, SMART acronym goals, where you're measuring what's happening. So how do you handle not always seeing the numbers exactly where you want them to be?
Yeah, I think I feel as if the way that we run our business is definitely very like black and white and you know, measurable, as we're accountants, as you just basically stated.
Yeah.
And I feel like my wife and I, who essentially ran every aspect of the business, and, you know, where I'm the CEO now, kind of manage sales and marketing and oversee kind of several departments, whereas she's the COO, does, you know, the operations, client, you know, economics, profitability, yada, 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 right? Mm. So we have kind of separate functions and departments that basically I have 100% confidence she's going to do her job. She's 100% confidence I'm going to do my job and hit our marks within our specific functions. And with that being said, we do basically in terms of where we're at, because we're in a really good growth pattern and we're growing very organically and it's good. The problem comes in is like, I feel like every time we don't hit a metric, it's because it's some sort of new department or function that I don't think that we properly created or measured or understand how to succeed in that department. Mm. And I think that's where, like, you know, when that happens, I get stressed out and highly stressed, because I don't have, it's really hard for me to not have control over something. And by that, I mean, not because I want to babysit or micromanage, but if I can't have control over, let's say, hey, we need to hire six people this month and we only hire three, I'm like, well, what can we do more? How can I help you? What is it? Like, what, you know, what are the solutions to get us to the next level?
Yeah.
Similar, like on our tax department, if somebody else is running it or managing it, a tax person, but then I'm like, well, why have we not hit the number of tax returns we should hit this month? Well, it's this, this, and that. And I feel like, you know what? I don't think I've gotten my hands around the process or the metrics or the systems or the workflow yet, right? So it's kind of like, all right, I'm going to jump over here. Let's figure out how it's going. Let's make sure we have a good process and workflow and systems and the data that talks to each other and that we're very efficient. And then what are the metrics we're going to hit? So I think for me, it's much more of like, if I'm not hitting it, it's really focusing, understanding what's going on, why we're not hitting it, and then implementing better systems proactively up front, but then also like, what are the key metrics we need to be reviewing and how often do we need to be reviewing it so then we don't fall off the rails.
Yeah, it makes sense. What about unplugging and you know, I imagine, not to pry into your personal lives, I only ask some of this too because my wife is not my business partner. However, you know, we have perhaps aspirations for that one day, but you know, there is a possibility she could kill me. So based on that, how do you guys handle, and we have two kids. Now our kids are 15 and 16. So they're at the age now where, you know, they really don't care if we're here or not. But how do you spend some time unplugging? Are you able to unplug, from the business? I mean, to enjoy some downtime or to relax
I think we set up our business pretty good where we can kind of, you know, work the typical like full-time week, but still get away. Right.
Yeah.
I work full-time. I work, you know, 40, 45 hours a week basically. Right.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is always, she works 25 to 30 hours a week, and then she's pregnant. So we're having another baby here
next
month.
Congrats.
Thank you. But because of our kind of schedules, and we've always kind of focused on making sure like we're not working on the weekends, and we're, you know, our current kids are 4.5-year-old twins, and making sure we're in the morning engaging with them, in the evening engaging with them, and, you know, all that stuff, and being present. So, you know, with our kids, it's really been, I think, easier to unplug, to be honest with you, because it's force unplug, where before we had kids, you know, I would say we probably worked our ass off a lot more. And on weekends and stuff, but you have a lot more time. And on top of that, that was like, you know, year 4 and 5 of the business that we're trying to grow, right? So, but now, no, we have like dedicated kind of every Friday we go out and connect, you know, with dinner, and our nanny kind of watches our children. And then we try to take a couple trips a year, but there's times like I don't even want to think about work on the weekends or on vacations. So, you know, we try to do as good as we can and respect each other's boundaries, but at times, like, I'll say something business related and she's annoyed. Sometimes she'll say something business related and I'm annoyed because I'm sitting by the pool or we're on a beach walk and like I don't really care about team member one or client two, you know. And it's like, but it is what it is, and it's a lifestyle. It's just we've gotten used to it, and I think we've segmented as good as we can. And you know, that's your departmental focus, that's mine. And then, you know, at that point, you know, we didn't create this business to work 60, 70 hours, and I'd rather hire great talent and people to kind of help us facilitate and grow it. And that's what we've done, and that's what we're going to keep trying to do.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I love the fact that you're both on the same page that way, and that you're able to unplug and enjoy the work that you're doing as well, and the benefits from that. And two, and so 4.5-year-old twins, and then your next kiddo coming soon. So that's wild. What's that been like as far as like balancing being a parent as well as growing a business?
It's been crazy. The first thing it did though is like when we had our first kids like 4.5-5 years ago, like it made us again start to delegate more and hire more, right? Of like the you know, I need to hire somebody to do this job. So it actually was the first time my wife had kids and she went on, you know, maternity leave for 3 months and I took a couple weeks off. We were like, all right, let's get the team members in here so they can take care of the business while we're gone. And we did.
Yeah.
And similarly now with our next kid, it's, you know what, my wife does this and this operations. She's not going to be here 3 months. All right, we need to hire a full-time operations person. We need to do this. We need to do that. And how do we set ourselves up for success? So then when we come back into the business or like, when she does specifically because she'll be gone for 3 months, it's kind of a new phase for her and more strategic every time, right? Because now we've delegated and got that out of the way. So it's actually forced us to, I think, play our hand more and to be more strategic and more proactive in hiring people and having kind of deadline dates of this needs to be done by this date and delegated, which is great for that aspect. And then you know, that at the same time we've had kids, you know, we keep growing and there's different phases and strategic aspects of the business that, you know, that need our attention, that we, again, just have to kind of reset our focus on and go from there.
As far as, you know, growing account fully, to, you know, 50 plus people, how are you able to keep them all sort of in communication with one another? A lot of the time, like, are they able to, are you using like a Slack or some sort of technology to help folks? I know you started with a cloud-based kind of business anyway, but What sort of tech are you using to help keep people connected?
Yeah, definitely Slack we use, and we've used for, you know, the last, what, 5, 6, 7 years or whatever, which has been great. And we have different channels for different, you know, people in Nashville, people in Charleston, our remote team, you know, different communities that we can chat on and all that stuff. And, you know, and I think that's number one. And number two is, you know, every team member, like our billable team members, our accountants that actually do client work, let's say there's 40 to 45 of them, you know, they are all on 8 to 10 to 12 to 15 clients or even more, depending upon their staff level. And then each of those clients has client teams. So then there's within, you know, the function of just being at Accountfully physically at these offices or remotely, then you're also within these 15 client teams that have their own Slack channel that then can discuss constantly about, you know, to-dos and questions, client-specific, as well as then you have your aspect of staff accountant level, senior accountant level, right? So there's a lot of different kind of levels in departments or divisions within Accountfully. And I think Slack's a great way that we do that, as well as we use Asana for our task and project management software. So everybody's fully engaged in there. Mm-hmm. And then we use Google Meet, basically, or Google Hangouts for all of our, versus Zoom, just because it's integrated with our Gmail, you know, for quick calls and things like that. So we leverage it in a good manner for all that, those things. And then outside of that, then you have the manager team and above meet, you know, weekly on things and all that stuff, where the staff level typically doesn't. But we're trying to keep, you know, people focused and do different trainings each month on, you know, at the senior level, the staff level, to get people kind of engaged in a bigger room that's not just, you know, client focused every month or, you know.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. As far as like culture goes, and I know that's something that's been a big priority of yours really since beginning, because you didn't want to be sort of your typical suit and tie kind of cubicle hell accounting firm. Mm-hmm. My words, not yours, but something to that effect. Are there other, and I assume there are, that what are the other companies that inspired you from a sort of culture point of building Accountfully different?
I would say that I think a lot of our inspiration for Accountfully is basically the anti-corporate world. I feel like I got out of like PwC, and I just hated it. Like, I mean, the people were great. Most of them were great, but I was like, the way that they just treat people and talent, they come in, you work 50 to 60 hours a week, and then half the people leave within 2 years to go to a different job and half to stay. And I'm like, this doesn't seem like it's a very fun venture. Like, you literally go there and you expect to be gone in a couple of years. Like, everybody does. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, you're not on the partner track. You're going, you know, and it's just like, it feels like it's a waste of money and of time from just an employer standpoint, from a company standpoint. So like, I feel like that was a big inspiration in terms of, I really don't want to be like this. There's a ton of cool accountants that I work with or worked with that would want a cool job, and then they just want to come to work. And does it really matter if you're dressed with a tie or a suit, or does it matter just how you present yourself verbally and the work product you're doing? And that was a big part of it. And then over time, like, you know, we kept getting involved at the start of Accountfully within more of the creative industry here in Charleston, which there's a lot of, like marketing companies, video production companies, and different things like that, architects, and, you know, we're all kind of cool and hip and all that type of stuff. So we were trying to brand or connect ourselves with them, right? And when I came up with, or when we'd walk up with a pair of jeans and a nice button up and tennis shoes or whatever, or boots, and they're like, oh, you're an accountant? Wow, I didn't even picture you being an accountant. You know, right. You can talk, you're cool, you drink some beer with us, you know, whatever. So that, I think the inspiration just kept going, wow, there's something here. There's a market for the 25 to 40-year-old entrepreneur who runs a small business who requires the use of an accountant, whether it's a bookkeeper, whether it's a tax person. Somebody needs to do it, or whether they do it themselves or not. But there's the accounting, clearly, industry is stereotyped of stuffiness and don't respond to me when it's tax season and all this stuff that was like, wow, if you just like treat this person like a normal person and act like, you know, kind of a respectful adult, they're kind of going to, and cool and on their vibe, they're going to be like, wow, these are cool accountants. I want them to be my accountant.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, it was just kind of an easy sale process as you went there, because we were just being ourselves. And then we're like, yeah, we'll go ahead and figure that out or do that stuff for you. And that's what we've done as we've gone forward from a culture standpoint. We've continued to do that, which I think was a huge aspect of our growth. And our team members, you know, love working here. And then like COVID hit, and it was just kind of like, you know, the quarant folks who stayed at home and were more stressed out about COVID versus other folks, like, you know, there was a bad experience for people because they were like, well, this wasn't the same. And it's like, you've been stuck in your house for 9 months. Like, everything in that life is different. It's not a Counfly's fault. Like,
right.
You know, so, but a lot of employers got the brunt of that. And so, you know, it sucked because like, we focus a lot of time and energy on our culture and, you know, making sure our employees feel, you know, that culture and that they enjoy. Accounting is not always fun, but that they enjoy, you know, the people and can crack open a glass of wine or a beer like on a Thursday afternoon while they're working and just connect with their team members. Well, that kind of went away for a minute. So
yeah,
way to kind of refocus on that. But I think everybody did. But yeah, that's kind of where we came from a culture standpoint.
And I like that you've decided having the sort of Tuesday through Thursday work week, that, you know, for those who are in the same office or you know, in the office, having, because I know of other companies that I've both consulted with and spoken for as well, who, you know, tried things different ways at first, tried like letting people come in when they want and finding that just won't work. I don't think long-term, just because if certain people come in only on Tuesdays and others only come in on Mondays, they may never meet each other. You know what I mean? Mm. So I like the way you've gone with that. And the fact that you've treated it more like a, in a way, sort of like a boutique agency in a sense, and more of a creative sort of approach to it. And I think, you know, I interviewed Ben Landers, who's the CEO of Blue Corona, on this podcast a while back. And Ben was talking about this moment when he was working for a large firm and he was like in the corporate tower and he was stepping into the elevator and a colleague from, he was stepping into the elevator. Somebody else was standing there with a coffee and like a colleague kind of grabbed him by the, you know, back of the suit jacket and yanked him back out of the elevator. Like, dude. And then the doors closed and he's like, you can't get in there with him. It was like one of the senior people and you weren't allowed to ride in the elevator with him. You know, and I think those days are really, you know, on the way, on the way out finally, which is a good thing. All right. Let me move to our lightning round. I want to be respectful of your time here. So complete this sentence. Nice guys and gals finish
first, long term.
I love it. What's a nice book you recommend to the nice makers?
Who Not How.
Who Not How.
Who Not How.
Oh, Who Not How. I don't
know. Dave Sullivan.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, just about delegating versus trying to figure it out yourself.
Yes, yes. Important information that every entrepreneur needs to know for sure. Yes. How is Brad nice to himself?
I'm kind of a perfectionist. I would say I'm nice to myself that gosh, that's a tough question.
It's okay. Take your time.
How am I nice to myself? I think I cut myself slack in terms of, and this kind of goes back to how do you unplug? I think weekends I try to stay unplugged and give myself free time and just allow myself to relax without thinking about work, because that's really the time I need to kind of re-inspire myself and just to refresh myself. Yeah. So I would say I'm nice to myself really like on the weekends and stuff. And I try to just, you know, have some personal time that's not just focused on business and stress and just really allows me to defrag a bit.
That's awesome. And it's good that you're doing that. Do you, a side note here, do you communicate that to your team? Like, do they know, Like, I had a boss a million years ago, like BlackBerry days. I was just talking about this in another episode. And he had an auto reply on his email that said, I'm not available from, I won't respond to your email from I check my email twice a day, 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. And if you need me urgently, you know, please call me. Are there ways that you set expectations that way or let your team know that, you know, hey, Saturdays and Sundays, I'm not available or anything like that?
Yeah, I think it's pretty well known because the majority of our team basically doesn't do anything on the weekends or after hours typically.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice as we set that expectations with them of like, hey, this is not the traditional accounting firm, you know, 40 hours a week. Also what we do is we do like all year long, we go like 2 o'clock Fridays. So as long as you get your time, you know, your 40 in and your work done, you can leave at 2 o'clock every Friday. So like everybody typically is kind of off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which is great.
Yeah.
So I think that's the expectation and that really helps kind of talent understanding it. And I mean, employees have all the leverage right now. So the best you can do to keep them from working when they don't want to work, the better.
Yeah, good point. And I like the fact that you kind of turn that around to not like my question was, you know, how do you communicate that you're not available? But the point is, and as you rightfully said, you know, it's really the team knowing when not to connect or when not to, you know, bother the rest of the team. It's not just you. Yeah. It's like, let everybody off for the weekend, please.
Exactly.
I love it. Okay. If you had a billboard, what would it say?
You are the CEO of your own life.
Nice. I like that. That's awesome. Brad, thank you so much for joining me today. How can folks get a hold of you or learn more or look for a job?
Yeah. Accountfully.com. Accountfully, our Instagram, our LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever. Go there. I think you'll, if you're looking for a job specifically in your accountant, go check out our Instagram and well, we're not the same. We got great, cool branding and we have some great kind of content and we work with some of the coolest clients around. So I would say do that. And if you need to send an email, feel free to send an email to brad@accountfully.com and I'll be in touch.
Awesome. Thanks again for joining me.
Awesome. It was a great day. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the NICE podcast. I would love to include your voice on the show. If you have comments or questions regarding this episode or any episode, whether you might have some NICE communications tips of your own, visit friend.nicepodcast.co. There you can record an audio comment and I expect you'll hear it on an upcoming episode. Theme song is Little Jane May and the end song is Funny Feeling by Alistair Crystal at alistaircrystal.ca and we'll see you next time. Be nice.